We start with food wisdom from New Yorker cartoonist William Hayfley, who said, "When portions are this huge, I eat half now and the rest in a few minutes." Faith here, glad you're joining the party on this podcast edition of the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. You can consume this podcast in one, two, or three bites, or for as long as you've got, then come back for more. It's a party, so join us for a good time. Just ahead, our special guest, Italian food legend Lidia Bastianic, star of her own PBS show, and at our brand new online site, we've curated crazy good recipes, value wines, easy cocktails, hot topics, and great tips, products, and restaurants we think you should know about. Free delivery. You won't miss a drop of pleasure if you sign up for our podcast. Food Schmooze at WNPR.org. Jump into the fun, delicious Thanksgiving recipes and tips. Legendary Italian cook Lidia Bastianic is here, and our gang, senior contributors Alex Province, Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our wine contributor Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons. It is the launch, it's the premiere, and no secret, it is the most fun on the planet to be part of this show.
Here we go.
All right, we're all here to say we invite you to be with us on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze whenever you need a party. We are on demand now with our new podcast, A Larger Food Schmooze World Online, so you can join the conversation with us on your schedule. Our on-demand podcast, daily mini Food Schmooze Minutes on WNPR, and our online offerings are up and running thanks to the many thousands of you joining and talking with us. On Facebook, you can find us at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and if you like us on Facebook, we'll make sure you're first in line for our hot tip feeds. We have mouth-watering recipes, as I mentioned, these value wine recommendations you're about to hear, restaurant recommendations, easy cocktails, kitchen tips. We're doing these two-minute learning videos. Our new video,
can we just say,
it is up right now. This is Jacques Pepin. His unbelievable, and we thank him for supporting the launch. This is his unbelievable way to open champagne bottles.
Get a party started.
That's it.
It's at WNPR.org right now at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I am not kidding. You have got to see Jacques do this to believe
it. And you guys, too.
We learned his wild trick in 30 seconds, and so will you to dazzle your own guests. It's right up there. Okay. And our whole Thanksgiving kit is up there. We've got melting potatoes.
Are there any left?
It's the best roasted potatoes we've ever had. So good that Chris started making them for special events at his restaurant.
It's the go-to potato because it's so easy and so good.
I think we start the show with those.
We have
you bring them in and we eat them.
That's my French fry substitution.
We have Chris's remarkable make-ahead gravy that anyone can do, but it's like gravy like a chef. Mm. How to use that gravy to make your entire Thanksgiving turkey ahead of time. This is no stress Thanksgiving.
That's the best turkey ever, floating in the gravy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so you can see many of our recipes or link to the whole kit at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Mark Raymond is here.
Yeah.
With Thanksgiving wines to like. We have red and white. Everybody is saying that more people seem to drink white, so we've got two choices for you in the white department. We've got one that is just so universally fabulous, and we've got another white that sort of insider wine people drink.
And we want to
clue you in. These are all value wines, affordable. We have one red that is a host gift or a special occasion wine for around $40. We want to tell you about that. And it's really in here to match the turkey, but also to match what we have coming up shortly with Lidia Bastianic. We're doing this Barolo beef. It's beef that is braised in Barolo wine.
You're going to love it.
Yum.
Lydia's got a new cookbook. We'll get to that. Time for tips. We We've been telling you to do things ahead, to start chopping and dicing things 3 days ahead.
Set the table ahead.
Alex always says this, plan out your dishes ahead of time. It's one of those things you don't want to do the last minute. You're running around. And
people are trying to help. Where do the cranberries go? Here, grab it. It's on the table. It has a post-it note. It says cranberries.
And that's a great tip. Absolutely. Putting the post-it notes on your platters and serving dishes. Boom, it's done.
When we're hosting, my wife sets a week ahead. Nobody's allowed into the dining
room. You tape it off with the police tape.
You can't get in there.
Don't cross this line.
She's got all the place settings, all the water glasses, all the wine glasses.
Plastic.
Filled.
And then, of course, I'm tasked to make sure that the wine is all in the right place as well.
Here are a couple tips. We've been going all over and collecting these, coming up with some of our own, but also searching what chefs are saying. We saw a couple on Food Network. Tom Douglas at Dahlia Lounge in Seattle.
I've eaten at his restaurant.
We've had him on the show with his cookbooks. But he said, I put a half a cup of coffee beans in the cavity of the turkey. It creates great depth of flavor when I'm roasting it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that would go into the gravy.
So everyone is all caffeinated during Thanksgiving.
Would that keep everybody from falling asleep after they eat?
The tryptophan.
It's the tryptophan.
So here was another one about the interior of the turkey. Somebody said, rub it with concentrated chicken base, like a Knorr cube, K-N-O-R-R.
Oh, sure.
Or homemade chicken stock reduced with butter. Mm-hmm. Rub it on the inside of the chicken. Chris, what would that do?
Yeah, just beef up the flavor a little bit.
Or chicken it up.
Yeah, and intensify the flavor a little bit. Add seasoning and flavor into your gravy.
You know the little
drippings.
They almost sell like a demi-glace, like in a little plastic thing.
Yep. Yeah, they make a chicken gloss too of that same brand.
But you could rub that all over and it would be sticky. Yep.
I love grabbing the herbs that we've just harvested because, you know, we're getting to that time of the year where you got to get all the fresh herbs in. And I take the sage and the oregano with butter and some of the roasted garlic, and I mix it all up in a bowl, and I stuff it all under the skin of the turkey.
I do that too.
Oh,
I do whole sage leaves so you can actually see it. It's actually a little pretty. You can arrange the sage leaves under the skin.
Weren't you going to put in a peace sign or something?
Yeah, I saw a video, an online video, where you can actually make a peace sign with the sage leaves under the turkey.
Not a Mercedes sign.
No, not a Mercedes.
Sign.
You have to have the one down the middle.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? If you're a little hippie kind of thing for Thanksgiving.
Or just these days into peace, which is not a bad idea. Okay, so Laurent Tourneau, the great chef, said in New York City, because we were telling you, if you can possibly not get a frozen turkey, it's going to taste better. We don't mean you have to do some heritage thing that costs $5 million, but you know, if you can, good for you. But you go to the butcher and say, I want a fresh turkey, it's just a little bit better. Laurent is saying, or if you defrost it ahead of time and it's frozen, leave your turkey unwrapped in the refrigerator overnight. It dries it out, and you end up getting a crispier skin when you start roasting.
You don't have to baste as much, too, if you do that.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know
that.
Yeah. So, Mark, to come back to you and your idea with the herbs, the Italian chef Fabio Trabocchi, who's in Washington, D.C., says, I like to spread a mixture of breadcrumbs, fresh herbs, and pork fat under the skin of the bird, especially the skin of the breast. And it's the pork fat that keeps the breast moist and adds flavor.
You
just need a little pork fat in there with your herbs.
I thought I heard pork chop. Stuff it with a pork chop. That's a pretty good idea, too.
When you say pork, I'm thinking bacon.
Yeah,
a little smoked bacon right in there.
Pancetta.
Everything's better with bacon.
I know it. You know that's true.
I saw a recipe when I was doing research. Someone actually took bacon and sort of draped it and sort of weaved it over the bird and around the legs, and it looked pretty good.
Instead of
it was a bacon-like wrapped turkey. That looked pretty cool.
We are doing a conversation about tips online and having quite a conversation with you on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. It's Chris and Alex and I, and we're going all back and forth. And we said we want to learn from you. And so you've been talking with us on Facebook about your tips, and we're all sharing with each other just to make this holiday as stress-free as we can.
Yeah.
Here is one of the best I have ever heard. One of my tips on Facebook was that it's impossible to do the turkey perfectly because the way a bird is constructed, the legs take longer to cook.
The breast.
And then the breast is dried out. I mean, it's almost impossible unless you cut the bird up, and a lot of people don't want to do that. Okay, so it's just going to happen.
Yep.
And so I'm talking about things to do to re-moisten the breast. Here is Alex Stupak from Empillon. He's in New York City. I thought this was unbelievable. He said, before you roast the bird, insert several metal skewers into each turkey thigh. they're going to direct the heat right to the thighs more efficiently, like a little conductor. Mm. And then the faster the thighs will cook, and then the less time the breast has to dry out. Mm. So
that's a good one too.
What a cool thing to do. Yeah. That's genius.
Yeah, I've also heard like making little cuts into the thigh too, where the joint is.
On the leg?
Yeah, where the joint is, to make a little incision there, and that'll help it cook a little faster.
So you
too.
Might as well. I mean,
but I like the skewer thing. Because
those are going to be hot though. Yeah. Careful pulling them out. Yeah.
And they'll go into the thigh of the turkey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
You almost have like a turkey kebab.
You got to have handles, right? That's how you lift it out of the roasting pan.
Yeah.
It's very sort of Sputnik looking. Oh, we've got about a minute to Lydia Bastianich joining us on this new Food Schmooze. Okay, we've got that coming up. You'll see online, Frederick Wildman is the distributor, What to Say. We've got our entire Thanksgiving recipe kit there. If you like us on Facebook, we'll send you the feed. Everything is up there. We're very excited. This is something new for me. The Daily Show, I said goodbye to, and I am full-time now on the Food Schmooze. Woo-hoo. We're going to have daily minutes for you every day of the week. So very, very exciting. I'm with the gang. It's the most fun on the planet. A privilege, a pleasure to be with you. In other words, what we do is say permission granted. All right, we'll be right back with Lydia Bastianich, her incredible Italian recipe, some for Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening to the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Potato chips, how my mouth just drifts. Potato chips, how my mouth just drifts. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Potato chips, how my mouth just drifts. Potato chips, how my mouth just drifts. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. No matter where it is, you'll always find a bag around. Be in a bar, a picnic, even a baseball ground. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Potato chips, hold, drip, drip, drip.
I'm Faith Middleton. That was your first bite of the Food Schmooze with another bite on the way, so we're going to make this fast. In case you're new, you can listen to this show on WNPR every Thursday afternoon at 3 and again Saturdays at noon. And on Saturdays, we've discovered people listen for our curated ideas and suggestions just before they go shopping or head out for adventure. Nothing makes me happier than sharing the names and locations of people turning out great stuff. We have daily radio 60-second food schmoozes. Party with us at our brand new website, where you'll find some of my favorite easy and wildly delicious recipes, wine, cocktails, restaurants, plus our new 2-minute videos. They are a riot to do. Great events, we have you covered. Check it out. Food Schmooze at WNPR.org. Back to our show.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans.
I'll be ready. Beans. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
I'll be ready.
Beans.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
As we launch our new show, this new edition of the Food Schmooze, CPTV and PBS cooking star Lydia Bastianich is with us as special guest for the launch of her newest book. And I am now exclusively on one of the happiest assignments of all time, to devote myself full time to expanding the Food Schmooze world on air and online, where it has grown tremendously. Check this out. We have a 2-minute video we just now put up showing Jacques Pepin revealing his unbelievable way to open a bottle of champagne. You have to see this to believe it. We learned his trick in under a minute, and you will too, so you can entertain your party guests anytime you want. Right now at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze or at Facebook. It is a riot. I'm with senior contributors Alex Province, Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and one of our go-to wine contributors, Mark Raymond of Frederick Wild Waldman & Sons Wine Distributors, here with delicious, affordable Italian wines for Thanksgiving. We're now celebrating our guest, Lydia Bastianich, because her newest and I'd say grandest cookbook is out. Lydia's mastering the art of Italian cuisine. She is a teacher in it, guiding you along in each recipe. And she is a friend to home cooks, a legend in the food world. Lydia Bastianich, welcome to the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Party.
Faith Middleton, what a name. What a pleasure to be here with you on the show. Hi, Alex.
Hi there.
Chris. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
And congratulations on the food schmooze. And I am so proud to be on your launch.
As you know, we've done things together. The Food Schmooze has existed, but it is in an expanded way online. We're having huge conversations with people and so much fun. So a real honor to have you on the show to start us off in this new chapter. So thank you, Lydia.
My pleasure.
This is a very big cookbook, and I read it cover to cover, and I feel like I have learned so much. This is like going to an Italian cooking school, like being in Italy and being guided, someone holding your hand in the best way, giving you courage. So I would love, I'm going to focus in the beginning on things that you might make for Thanksgiving. I think this one with turkey would be so delicious as a starter or as a side, your warm mushroom salad, Lydia.
Wow.
You know, you saute your mushrooms and you make the dressing out of these warm mushrooms, a little bit of oil and vinegar, and it's as simple as that. A little bacon also could be good, added on or off.
Nice.
Depends on what you like. But you know what it is? The question is that you put it together the last minute, in a sense, so that the salad doesn't wilt, the spinach if you have, or whatever you're using for salad. But you do want it just a little warm, so it's a great appetizer. When you're worried, I says, what am I going to start with? And this is a great appetizer to begin, or on a buffet. Buffet table,
yeah.
Wonderful.
There is something about Italian food done well, and I think, for me, nobody does it better than Lydia Bastianich. Mm-hmm. To do Italian food well is about simplicity. It is about turning to the intricate flavor of the ingredients themselves without fooling around with them too much. And when you put the right things together, you just say, oh, so here you've got extra virgin olive oil, a little pancetta diced up, an array of wild mushrooms, a little chopped fresh thyme, kosher salt, some scallions, a little frisée in any supermarket, or you could use baby kale or spinach, red wine vinegar, and one of my favorite cheeses, the one that gets overlooked, but I know you love it, Lydia, Grana Padano.
Oh, yeah.
Less expensive, right, than Reggiano Parmigiano, and has its own beauty.
Yeah. We call it
declassified. Yes, it's more milkier.
So love, love, love that.
All mouth is watering already.
Isn't that? Wouldn't that be good with turkey and the stuff?
And we
I'm
just
making
ate.
It. I'm making it. Yeah, I know.
So do you folks like fennel? Because I do.
Love absolutely.
I think fennel with a turkey dinner would be just a beautiful thing. So, Lydia, I'm turning to your baked fennel with prosciutto. If I can say the ingredients and you tell us about this. Mm-hmm. Just a little salt, the fennel bulbs you buy at the supermarket, with a little bit of prosciutto, a touch of butter, some pepper, the Grana Padano cheese again. How easy this comes together.
It's very easy. And you know what's great for holidays like this? You have the oven going anyway. So any vegetables that you can put in the oven, that's kind of makes life much easier. Because the fennel, you parboil it, and then you slice it. And then you take a Pyrex or a baking pan, a little bit of butter, and you just dress the fennel in this little butter, salt, a little pepper, and then put the prosciutto on top and the cheese, and you put it in the oven 15 minutes, 20 minutes before you're ready to serve it so you can get it nice and warm. You know, so the cheese on top already is nice and crackling, and the prosciutto releases its flavor onto the fennel, and it's great. And this, too, you know, could be great on a buffet table, could be great as a vegetable side, but also as an appetizer. You know, you have the prosciutto, so it's substantial at the same time.
I was in Italy this summer, and I'm so in love with Italian culture and food, and I hear you rolling your R, and I was trying so hard.
That's beautiful.
People would say, oh, where are you staying? And so I was so concentrating on doing it right that I would say, Treviso, except my host said to me, you're shouting the name at people.
Treviso, Treviso.
See that? Treviso. Oh, I could swoon. Okay, let's go to your salads. I thought, what about a salad for Thanksgiving? We are doing these from Lydia Bastianich, a legend in the food world, the best in Italian cooking. You've probably seen her PBS show where she does Lydia's Italy, and her new book is called Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine, Everything You Need to Know to Be a Great Italian Cook. And she's co-authoring it with her daughter, Tanya Bastianich-Manuali, who is a scholar and an amazing writer, is fabulous about Italian art. She's really quite a person. So, radicchio salad with orange. When I was in Treviso, we had radicchio quite a lot, and it was so beautiful. So, tell me about this. Navel oranges, a lemon, Dijon mustard, salt and pepper, extra virgin olive oil, heads of radicchio, which you can get anywhere, sliced radishes, and then pitted oil-cured black olives. Think about that combo. Tell me, Lydia, how does this come together?
Well, it's very simple. It is also very seasonal. You know, oranges and radicchio, the endive family, that's in late fall, into the holidays, actually, for Christmas and so. So it's an ideal winter salad. But it is substantial in the sense that you have the dressing, the oil and vinegar, you have a little bit of mustard, which gives it that kind of sprint, and, of course, the black olives. The radicchio, the Chioggia one, the round one, is delicious, or the long one. It's called, in Treviso, now that you were in Treviso, it's called the Spadone. Either one of them are great. You know, I like it when it's nice and crispy. And you just kind of whisk the dressing. You get your vegetables and your radicchio and your orange ready, and then you whisk the dressing, some oil and some mustard, and you whisk it, and the oil and vinegar, and then you toss all of that together.
I'm hungry again. It's simple.
Oh. You can see all the eyes rolling in here as you're describing this. I tell you, my tail is wagging.
You know, this is a salad that kind of, you know, even if you make it half an hour before, it will last throughout. It won't just wimp down on you because the radicchio is, you know, resilient. So it's a good salad for a buffet if you are doing a buffet.
Lydia, is there something? I have had dishes when I was in Treviso and some other places in Italy where olives and orange segments seem to go together. It's a very Italian combination, isn't it?
It actually is very Sicilian. In Sicily, they do just a salad of oranges, black olives, and red onions.
That's a classic.
That's a classic. So now Italy is regional, of course. The food is very regional. But now it's spreading around a little bit. You know, you can have risotto in Sicily and in Puglia, and you can have orecchiette up in Lombardy. So it's kind of, you know, and this is, I think, one of those combinations between the Treviso, which is in the Veneto region, and the orange and olives, which is in Sicily. It's one of those combination salads.
You grew up in Italy. Do you think that that's a good thing, that everybody's trying everybody else's dishes and that you don't have to go to that region?
You know, Faith, I am very traditional, and what I'm all about, even my books, you know, I feel that I need to remain and communicate the Italian culture. I love regionality. I love the nuances of each region. But what is happening in Italy is it is this kind of almost inter-regional exchange of food. Could it be avoided? I guess it cannot be avoided. It has to be embraced. And I think sometimes it could be delicious. But still, you know, I'm very respectful of regionality.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I wonder if the internet has done this. How lucky are we on the launch of the show to have someone I just fall down over with respect, Lydia Bastianich. Her new book is Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine, Everything You Need to Know to Be a Great Italian Cook. And believe me, she does hold your hand through these dishes. These are instructions that say, you know, if it looks like this when you're doing this, then you know it is exactly where it is supposed to be. Because at heart, this woman is a teacher in the best sense of the world. If you watch her show, and I rarely miss it, You know that. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. Let's get some wine recommendations now for Thanksgiving. Then we'll continue our conversation with Lydia about her sensational Italian beef, oven roasted in Barolo wine. Wildly delicious. First wine recommendations. Mark Raymond is here. We have wines for you, and these are such value wines. We do have one host gift wine for perhaps the host to tuck away or a special weekend, and these are all $15, $20, these wines, and it's just an amazing bargain. So you'll find them all at our website, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and on Facebook at that address, too. They're all up there. And we have taken, on Facebook, we've taken pictures of the labels.
Easiest way.
This way you can either take the label to the store.
That's it. Right off your phone.
Yeah. Or, hold the phone right up to them.
Yes, or you can spell it to them on the phone so you don't make an extra trip. Yeah. So they can, if it's not on the shelf, they can get it for you. But all these stores are waiting and ready. All these wines are available in large enough quantities. Mm-hmm. We're curating this stuff for you of all the choices. So, Mark, let's start with the two whites.
Okay.
Chris, this is what most people, don't you agree, most people drink, Mark? White wine on Thanksgiving, we've learned.
I agree. I think that's really what we see the most of. I mean, poultry, when you think of any type of, you know, chicken, turkey, it's generally leaning towards white.
Okay.
We're starting out with a Chardonnay, Olivia Lafleuve Lacetie. This is classic Burgundy.
You know what? This is
goodness in a glass.
I think this is my favorite Chardonnay that I've had in a long time at this price point.
Do you hide this under the table?
No. This is a pretty good value. This is $20 a bottle. So
what's great about this is it's great drinking anytime. Yep. So the walking around wine, it is fantastic with all kinds of dishes.
Sophisticated.
Gorgeous
elegant.
With turkey.
People who love Chardonnay with that crisp green apple note to it. But what's really interesting about this is it almost has sort of a little caramel note to it on the finish.
Mm.
And that's traditional white Burgundy. When you start thinking of Pliny Montrachet and
I was going to say, Mark, this is drinking like a $35, $40 bottle of
absolutely.
Wine.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a great value. And it's a go-to wine. For people who say to me that they don't like Chardonnay, I love to have them try this
wine. I mean, this is a case wine for me right here.
And that you can keep them, you buy a case, you keep it in the basement. It's a perfect temperature.
Yeah.
So that is our number one white choice, although we've got a little sneaky thing coming up for you here.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the Bourgogne Lacetie by Olivier Lafleuve. Now, you might say, how in the world am I going to remember all that? Well, that's why we have the website.
That's it.
So that's why you go to Facebook.
Pictures worth a million
that's
words.
That's why you go to WNPR.org. We've got a picture's posted for that one. So that is the number one. It will go with everything. Gorgeous with turkey. Gorgeous for any time of the year. My favorite Chardonnay for drinking at this price point, $20.
Domaine Lafleuve is such a great name.
It really is. That family name has been around Burgundy for hundreds of years.
I went when they were just starting out.
Stop.
Yeah, only a couple hundred years ago.
You drink this wine, you will live forever. That's the upside and the downside.
The fountain of youth.
Okay, so that's that one. Now, can we do the sneaky thing? This is what insider wine people would probably drink at Thanksgiving, right, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the type of wine, first of all, it's Huguel Riesling. It comes in a tall green bottle, so people look at the bottle and say, ooh, this is going to be a sweet wine. This is not a sweet wine at all. This is a crisp, clean, dry Riesling from Alsace by the Huguel family that's been making wine since the 1600s. I think they've got it down.
If you had to say, oh, I have reference to some flavor, what is it in this wine?
Oh, with me, this is pineapple.
Yeah. Me too.
Which is
and, you know, and not a sweet pineapple, but you know, you just get all the essence and crispness
of the acidity. My mouth is salivating.
Yeah.
I can do this with turkey, with pork, with chicken, even with beef.
So, absolutely. Yeah, things with a little spice.
Everything.
So that's a Huguel Riesling. Mm. Terrific. And that is about $20 a bottle. Now we're going to move into the reds. First, we're going to do the drinking red for Thanksgiving. And this is a Barbera. And all of these wines are available in our region right now. We made sure in enough quantity, no matter what happens, that it is there, although they do sell out. So this is Rouvée Barbera.
And this is made by Marchese di Barolo, a classic house from the village of Barolo. And this is their Barbera d'Alba.
Mark, $15.
$15 is a great value for this wine. But what I really love about this wine is the bright berry fruit. You know, you think of blackberry and plum. Again, a red wine with great acidity. It's refreshing.
Good with turkey.
Great with turkey.
Good with anything.
With all those root vegetables and that deep, rich, fatty gravy.
Some people have a red sauce on Thanksgiving, like in my family. I would do it with this.
Absolutely. Italian food, it's fantastic with.
And talk about Italian food. Lydia Bastianich on the way here on the show. All right, here comes our Barolo, which is, again, these are at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, also at WNPR.org. Here we go, our Barolo from Marchese di Barolo.
Marchese di Barolo, Barolo Traditional. And this is 2010 vintage,
host gift,
perfect classic vintage. And yes, this would be the perfect host gift.
$40 a bottle.
This is totally the one where you take the cork out and put it back in and say, "I opened
this
it."
This is for us.
I do think that $25 to $50 is a nice price point for a host gift because people are knocking themselves out for you for the holiday,
especially for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So you can either buy a couple bottles of any of these other $15, $20 wines. That's a way to go. Or if you want to just bomb them with gratitude, you would do this $40 Barolo.
And it's a non-commodity wine, so people don't know what you paid for it. So it's such a special label. It's, you know, looks like
you throw the name Barolo out there, people know it's the king of red grapes. And it's a classic wine, beautiful intensity.
This is the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Party. More Lydia coming right up on radio. Listen to us on our new day, Thursdays at 3, and as always, Saturdays at noon. We are online now with two-minute video learning lessons and on-demand podcasts to listen to when you want, food, wine, and cocktail recommendations, products, kitchen tips, style, and more. On radio, you can hear our daily mini food schmooze tips. Like us now on Facebook, and you'll be first in line for our hot tip feed. That's at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. We're with our special guest, chef and PBS cooking star. You can see her on our own CPTV, Lydia Bastianich, co-author with her daughter of this new and wonderful cookbook, Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. Stay with us. More Lydia Bastianich and her special recipes for Thanksgiving.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry.
One more mouthwatering bite of the food schmooze. Ready? Here's something great to know about. Sign up for the app called NPR One. Just download it from the iPhone App Store or your Android device. Once you do, you can set WNPR as your local station. Couldn't be easier. Download the free app NPR One and start listening. Let's party on. More food schmooze.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and a cake. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything.
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, Alex Provence, Chris Bosberry, and our contributor Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons. Thanks for coming to the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Party in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. More Lydia Bastianich coming your way. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and if you like us there, we will make you first in line to get our hot tip feed. As we launch this new edition of the Food Schmooze, Lydia Bastianich is launching her brand new cookbook called Lydia's. It is fabulous. Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. Everything you need to know to be a great Italian cook. She is a legend in the Italian food world, has that PBS show. I just cannot believe how good she is. A true friend to the home cook. I was thinking, when people stay over for the holiday, or if you're having a brunch later on, I think this is so exciting. Frico, you know, those little cheese crisps that we all learned to make. This is a frico with Montazio cheese and potatoes. So here, Lydia, you've introduced potatoes into the mix. So this recipe calls for a baking potato, extra virgin olive oil, an onion, some sliced scallions, kosher salt, some pepper, and the Montazio cheese, which you can get now in any supermarket. Tell me about mixing in the potatoes for this and how this big round disc comes out.
You know, the traditional frico in Friuli, because this is the region that I come from, in Friuli Venezia Giulia, is the most northeastern region of Italy. It borders with Austria, with Slovenia, and down on the Adriatic. And frico is the national dish there. And what it is pieces of Montazio cheese, and usually pieces, you know, that are kind of left over or whatever, so very frugal. So there's pieces of cheese and potatoes put together with some onions and baked, almost like in a cake loaf, a pan, if you will. And that's the traditional frico in Friuli, served with polenta. So I kind of combined, you know, the frico chips or the Parmesan chips that so easy to make. You just sprinkle some cheese in a nonstick pan and you get this crispy chips. Well, what I did, I took potatoes and I sautéed potatoes and onions, just like home fries. Sometimes I put in a little bit of peppers. Sometimes I put in sausages. Sometimes I put even shrimp. So you have this kind of stuff in this home fries. Who doesn't like that?
Right.
And then I begin with the pan, the nonstick pan. An 8-inch is a nice size frico, and I sprinkle the shredded Montazio cheese to cover the whole base.
Yeah, that's the part we like.
and that begins to kind of crisp. Then I put in the stuffing. I kind of spread lightly this potatoes, and then I sprinkle on top again the Montazio shreds and cover it completely. When the bottom forms a crust, you know, if you shake it, that will loosen up, and I flip it over with a spatula, or I slide it on a plate, then put the pan over, and the uncooked side is now on the bottom cooking. So you get these two crisp sides with the filling inside, which is a delicious lunch, appetizer, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that, can you imagine serving that for breakfast or for any reason? That is my go-to midnight snack right there.
You think about it, the kids would never leave the table. They would actually sit down and eat breakfast.
It's a very kid-friendly dish. They like the chips and you know, the potatoes in there, but you can put other vegetables too. So you can just vary the stuffing.
Yeah.
But potatoes are good carriers for other things, you know, so a home fried, and then in there you can put whatever you'd like.
I love the story in this book of how you grew up as a child. Your job was on the farm that you had with your family and so close to your grandparents, picking the olives, climbing the tree, getting the figs, everything, the collecting nuts, digging the potatoes, bringing everything in, the milk from the cows. I love that story. So when you say ingredients, I have a movie running in my head of you as a child running around getting those things.
I think that's the basis. That's where my kind of passion for food started. And the setting was, you know, a little farmhouse where my grandmother had a courtyard, grandmother and grandfather, and we had all these courtyard animals. You know, we had chickens and ducks and we had rabbits and we had two pigs every year and we had goat. And then, of course, we had the garden. We had olive trees. We made olive oil every year. My grandfather made wine, you know, enough to feed the whole family. But it was very seasonal, of course. And I was, you know, the kind of little helper running around, bringing the pail for the milk or collecting the little potatoes. You know, my grandmother would collect the potatoes, a tuber, you know, it grows under a bush, and she would pick up this bush, get the big potatoes. And I was in her wake picking up the smaller potatoes that were left behind. And, you know, that just milked goat milk, nice and warm. I would drink it straight like that. We would make ricotta. Mm. I would help her to make bread, pasta. So those wonderful, pristine flavors of nature in season when, you know, the fig is perfectly ripe and, you know, the peach is just juicy enough. And we had 2 peach trees, 3 fig trees. Mm. We had all of those things, you know, that sort of seasonally matured. And so I think that my reference library of flavor and thought about products and appreciation really goes back to that early setting in my life with my grandmother and grandfather.
We certainly on the show love our family farms and these farmers markets. We always tell folks that they're open, what's going on. Having said that, a lot of us, I have to, by necessity, shop in supermarkets. And so I wonder how we can achieve something that is respectful of ingredients and bringing out the best in them, and at the same time shopping for those ingredients in the supermarket. How do you think about that, Lydia?
Yeah, Faith, that's a reality. And I think it's becoming ever more positive. And that is people at large are really informed. To social media, to radio, television, you know, there's a lot about food. We became finally aware that food is giving us life, health, and so on, and pleasure and flavor, and we are paying more and more attention. Hence, you know, it is us, the consumer, that can drive ever more. Yes, going to a farm or going to a farmer's market is beautiful, but if while in the stores we insist on buying and we buy and we support those small farmers or those conscious farmers or raisers of meat, and that they are conscious, that it's somewhat organic, that they are naturally fed, that there's no hormones, that the chickens are allowed to roam. If we buy those products, we send that message out to these producers. And I think, you know, sometimes big industry has been the culprit. Let us take it over and let's make the food for you and we will feed you. But it doesn't work that way. We need to return. And big industry can be conscious, you know.
Yes, it can.
If the consumer,
we see change. Even the corporate farming companies, we're seeing change.
And the big supermarket chains, too, have the Connecticut grown signs now. So you can see stuff that's actually locally produced in the big chain supermarket. So buy that, and then the stores will see, oh, that's what people are buying, and get more of it, right?
Exactly. Buying stuff seasonally, too.
I think that's your point, Lydia. I am with Lydia Bastianich, co-author with her daughter of this new and wonderful cookbook, Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. We're going to talk about this now. Her knockout recipe for beef roasted in Barolo wine. Mm-hmm. As we continue our conversation with Lydia now, if you'd like to spend an evening with Lydia, that sounds a little racy, doesn't it?
sounds good to me.
Sign me up.
Thank you. I have the honor of interviewing her on stage at the historic Palace Theater in Waterbury Wednesday, January 27th at 7:30. She will also sign her new book for you. For information, good holiday present surprise, by the way, go online to Faith Middleton Food Schmooze at WNPR.org for the ticket link. Lydia, we're going to go to your Barolo wine beef in 1 second. I've got one more thing for Thanksgiving potatoes. Your horseradish mashed potatoes. Mm. So the ingredients are russet potatoes. This would serve 6 as a side. Some unsalted butter, half and half, and milk, kosher salt, and fresh horseradish root, peeled and grated. You can get this now. Mm-hmm. So tell us about these. This is such a good little hit with the potatoes. I think good opposite turkey, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I happen to love horseradish. I think it's just making its way into the mainstream now. I see it a lot in stores. And that is fresh horseradish. Horseradish is a root. And all you have to do is buy the root and you peel it with a potato peeler and then you grate it. And freshly grated, it is delicious on meats, on cold cuts, and in the potatoes. And it gives that kind of lift, if you will, that kind of pick-me-up. But it's nice. It's delicious in taste, and it is really very, very healthy for you.
I love it.
You know, in Italy, in that northeast part where I come from, again, under Austria, whatever, so it's that Middle European kind of part of the cuisine in that area. And we use a lot of horseradish. And boiled meats and so on.
Bloody
and
Marys. Bloody Marys.
With Bloody Marys. That's right.
Exactly.
My mom is from Austria, so we grew up with it. And I remember the first time we picked it up in a store in New York, she took it home. We grated it. And then she took the top. And we planted the top in the ground. And then from then on, we had fresh horseradish growing in the ground. And she still does.
I have it at home.
Yeah, she still
does. I do. I have it at home.
Yeah, it grows really well around here.
So here's a wild thing. When I'm in Treviso, and as you were saying, this region you grew up in, I'm there, and my host, Vern Willie, says, well, let's see, what are we going to do today? We can go over to Venice. This would be about 20 minutes in this direction. We can go over here, or we could go to Austria for lunch. And I said, what?
Let's go to Austria for lunch.
What are you talking about? And he said, it's it's a drive from here. I said, it is? Would think I would know this from my map, but that astounds me, that location.
Yeah, it's very close. But then Italy is not that big. You know, it's smaller than California. It's very diverse, the topography, the climate, the microclimates, the regionality of it. But it's smaller than California, Italy.
We're talking about recipes from Lydia's new cookbook, Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. Now, we want to describe the recipe we've selected from that book. It will be our chief recommendation for the Hanukkah Christmas season. We love this so much. We're going to give you the recipe in our Connecticut Magazine program guide and online at the end of November. So listen to this. This is for the oven, technically, but Chris says we could even make this in a crock pot.
Absolutely.
Totally.
This is beef braised in Barolo wine. It calls for a beef roast. You could use flat iron. You could use chuck, bottom round. You trim off the fat, extra virgin olive oil, some onion and carrots and celery, garlic cloves and some fresh rosemary and sage leaves, grated nutmeg. That's a secret ingredient. Black peppercorns, dried porcini mushrooms, or maybe a mixture of wild mushrooms, whatever is around. A little beef stock. And here's my favorite, 2 bottles of Barolo.
One to drink?
No.
One for the braising.
That would then be 3 bottles. So 2 bottles. Imagine this roasting in 2 bottles of Barolo wine. There are affordable Barolos for this, right, Lydia? So tell us about this. We just ate it. It's phenomenal.
Well, the better the ingredients, of course, the better the result. But that's not to be said, that you cannot make it with another red wine as long as it's good. But this is the traditional Piedmontese dish of meat braised in Barolo wine. Mm. And, that kind of slow-cooked meat, I love slow-cooking techniques, and I love the perking away, the flavor that comes in the sauce. And what's good about these kind of recipes is that, it doesn't always have to be the best cut of meat. I mean, I love flat iron for this, which is kind of a piece of the shoulder, and it has like a piece of gelatin running through it, and that kind of becomes finger-sticking good once it's cooked. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Not you have
it.
Also good Barolo to go with it. No?
Yeah, we did. Thanks to Mark Raymond. Yes, we did. Yeah, and you certainly could get a Barolo for this recipe. For what price point are we at for this recipe?
I think Barolos go the gamut, but the aged Barolos, of course, are more expensive. So don't go for an aged Barolo. Certainly, for this.
No.
A fresh young Barolo might be just released, might be good. And it does certainly not a Riserva. You don't need a Riserva for here. But you can also use a Barbaresco, if you like. That's in, the same area, more or less. It's just a little bit lighter than the Barolo. I think, $12-$15, Mark, what do you think? $15 Barolo would do?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, even you 12.
You'd want to use something that's light and vibrant, like you said, released recently, something young that has a lot of intensity still to it, not something that's got a lot of elegance that you want to put in your
higher.
You want to actually drink that.
Put that in your glass.
Yeah.
May I have a cup of gravy?
Yeah.
So this is essentially amazing. Braising the meat, browning it on the outside with these beautiful things as a base. You know, when you hear those words about garlic and celery and carrots and onions, that's a classic base to bring out flavor and to make a sauce later on. And then the Barolo wine sitting with this cut of beef halfway up in the oven it goes, and after it's been browned on the stovetop, in the oven it goes, and it is roasting in there for quite some time until it's fork tender. Oh, Chris, you did a beautiful job. This was knockout.
You said it before about the recipes, though. The best thing about it is reading her directions. She holds your hand, and it's like she's there with you cooking in the kitchen.
I know.
And you don't see that in a lot of cookbooks anymore. You usually get bullet points. With this recipe, it was really, she talked you right through it.
And after a lifetime with Italian food, starting with, as a child, picking this off the trees and learning from grandparents and parents, just amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate Chris. But what for me is important is that kind of I empower the cook at home, shall we say, and that they get this technique, you know. It's yours. It's yours to keep. But get the technique, get the feeling of this braised with Barolo, with all the herbs, and then you can make anything else you want. You know, you can make oxtails like this. Yeah. This is what I hope to achieve with this book. And as you notice, there's no real photos, because kind of I feel that photos age a book, a time, you know, it tells you in a period that the book was written, all that. So I want these techniques, which are classical and traditional and contemporary at the same time, to kind of stay on the bookshelf for a few years and transgenerational, if you will.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed, and I think this will be around for a very, very long time. A legend in the food world, the best there is in terms of Italian cooking and knowledge. I've just knocked out. Lydia Bastianich, thank you so much. Author of the new cookbook, Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. Information about it posted at our new site, Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze, at WNPR.org and on Facebook. And if you like us on Facebook, we'll put you at the head of the line to get our hot tips feed right to you. We have an on-demand podcast now. Listen on your schedule in small bites or oops, I ate the whole thing. Right now, you've just got to see our wild new two-minute video. Jacques Pepin demonstrates to Alex Provence, Chris Prosperi, and me his unbelievable way to open a bottle of champagne, and you'll be able to do it too. It is eye-popping. Go to Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Lydia, thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor.
Thank you, Faith, and thank you, guys.
Thanks to Jonathan McNichol and Lori Mack for their excellent production assistance. You have a seat at our table anytime on radio and online. Eat, drink, and be merry. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. See what I mean? This is the place to have a good time, so come back. You can listen to just one or two bites or, oops, I ate the whole thing. Entirely admirable. You can listen to us on the radio 3 p.m. Thursdays and noon Saturdays. You'll hear our new 60-second food schmoozes daily on WNPR. Join the party with us next week and anytime online. That's Food Schmooze at WNPR.org. Meanwhile, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm Faith Middleton.